Shir is Masechta Makis, Daf Chaf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis at the bottom of the Amid, the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues discussing the halachas of how Malkus were administered. And says the Mishnah, Ketzed Malkan Esai, how did Bezin actually given the Malkus? Koifish de Yodov ala Amid Helich Vahelich. They would tie his hands on a pole, on the two sides of the pole. The Rishonim discuss how tall the pole was. Some Rishonim suggested the pole was an amen and a half tall, or 2 amens tall. Or some Rishonim I saw suggest that the pole was up to the area of the heart of the person who was getting Malkus, and depending on his height, that was how high the pole was. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that from here we clearly see that Beis Din, as will become clear in our Mishnah, Beis Din was present at the Malkus to make sure that the Malkus was done properly. Continues the Mishnah, the Chazan HaKnesses. Chazan HaKnesses here doesn't mean the Chazan, the Baal Tefillah, the Shliach Tzibur. Chazan means the attendant, and comes from the word Chazoin, to see. The Chazan, the person who was in charge to make sure that all of the needs of the community were taken care of, the Chazan HaKnesses, Oichez Bebegodov, would grasp the beged that the person was wearing. Im Nikru, Nikru, if they get torn, so be it. Im Nifru, Nifru. Again, here too, the many different explanations. What is the difference between Nikru and Nifrumu? Some say it means large rips versus smaller rips. Others say it makes a difference between a rip along a hem versus a rip not along a hem. Others say it makes a difference between a rip in the width versus a rip in the length of the clothing he was wearing. Atshu Megala Asliba. Until the heart of the person who was getting Malkus was exposed. The reason being, as the Mefarshim explained, the Torah says Vihiko, the Malkus have to be on the person receiving the Malkus, and therefore his back has to be removed. But furthermore, as the Mefarshim point out, it's done because the Pasuk says, as the Gemara will explain, the Pasuk says V'niklo Achicha, it has to be done in an embarrassing way. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, the Evan the Sunna Me'achurav, there was a stone behind the person getting the Malkus, on which the Chazan HaKnesses, Imanolov, on which this Chazan stood. Mefarshim explained, the stone was put next to him, but behind him, for two reasons. Number one, because he had to hit him, so he had to stand behind him in order to be able to hit him. And furthermore, if the person receiving the Malkus would see the person giving the Malkus, it would cause him to have tremendous fright. And the Torah says, "For haftal reach kamaych," we want to do it in the least terrible way possible. And that's why the Chazan stood behind the person getting the Malkus. Says the Mishnah further, "Shel egel," the strap. Ritzubi, yada, he had a strap in his hand. Shel egel made out of calfskin. Kfula achas l'shnayim v'shtayim l'arba, and that was folded over one to two. First, it was doubled into two, and the two were doubled into four. V'shtei ritzul shel chamor, two more straps made out of donkey hide. Oilus v'yardus ba, attached or coming out of this calfskin strap. Yada tefach, the handle of the strap should be a tefach long. V'roch v'tefach, and a tefach wide. V'roish shemegas api kreisoi, and the tip should reach the beginning of his stomach. That means when the Malkus are given, according to the, on the back of the person, it should be long enough to reach his entire back, and wrap around to the front of the stomach. Others say that pshat is that it should be long enough to reach from the chest to the beginning of the stomach. Umaka oisoi, and when this person received Malkus, shlish melfonov, one third of the Malkus were given in the front of the person, v'shtei yadus melachrov, and two in the back. And I saw a number of pshatim in the Mefarshim how to understand why it was done this way. One pshat is that we know that the front of the person represents the better part of the person, and the back of the person represents the weaker part of the person, the achrayim. And what the malchus were when the person was getting these malchus, the message that was being given actually was that he had the achrayim, the back part, the lesser part of his body, prevail over the more important part of his body, the lefonav. The Malbim says a very interesting pshat. The Malbim says pshat that the Torah did not want that all the malchus he received should be on the same spot because two reasons. Number one, it would be more painful. And number two, it would be possible that if you get so many malchus on the same spot, a infection could form over there. And Chazal, the Torah of course doesn't want this person to have an infection, so they varied exactly where the malchus were given. But the Kliyakar gives another pshat. The Kliyakar says that we know it says in Pirkei Avos, "Stakel b'shlosh dvarim v'yata bala de'aveira." Look at three things which will prevent you from doing an aveira. Dama ayin bos, know from where you come, ulana to hoylich, and where you're going. Ufnei ata osel litin din v'cheshbon. So if we look at these three things that are listed in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, one of them refers to backwards, mufanav, what happened prior to us, me'ayin basa, and two are talking about the future, lana t'hoylich, f'nei mitasa din v'cheshbon, that's the ocher, what will be in the future. So to give the person malchus this message, the malchus was given in this way. Actually, a nafkamina between the different ways that we just described how malchus was given would be if does the malchus specifically have to be given one in the front, two in the back, and so on? They keep on going till they give the 39 malchus, or the amount of malchus this person is receiving, or could it be 13 in the front and 23 in the back? And according to the various pshatim, it would probably be a nafkamina and a halacha. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, when the person received the malchus, he wasn't like oimid v'layoshev, he wasn't standing or sitting, elamoita, he was bent over. Shnema, as the pasuk says, v'pilo yashoifet. V'maka, maka b'yodei achas, the person giving him the malchus would use one hand and use b'kol koichai, all of his strength he would use to give those malchus. V'kayre, kayre, and the person, there would be somebody reading the psukim as this person was receiving the malchus. He would read the pasukim, im loisish malasois, vif lashem es makos chavas makos, v'choyze l'tchilas Hamikra, and he goes back to the beginning of the psukim. But he could, if the malchus hasn't been finished and he still needs to read, and he continues saying Gushmatim Stivrei Apriyas Azois V'Chayisav Hurachim Chapa Oven V'Chayisav Tchilas Hamikra. So Mefarshim discuss here. We see that when the malchus were given V'Hurachim Chapa Oven, that pasuk is said, and I saw that Mefarshim discuss. From here we see why we say V'hu Rachim Chapar Oven every night before Marv, because it was the minig, both in the times when malchus were administered, the malchus that we're learning in our Masechta, and in the times that malchus were not administered as we have in the Masechta. But it used to be that when people didn't act properly, malchus mardus were administered. And in fact, the Mefarshim discuss, if we're learning in our Masechta now the various halachas, how malchus were administered, do malchus mardus have the same halachas? That some Rishonim suggest that they do. Other Rishonim suggest that they, since it's only malchus mardus, less malchus are given. And yet other Rishonim saying that no, malchus mardus are given until the person does tshuva. But whatever pshat it'll be, the time that this was given was in the time before Mincha Marav. And as we're learning now, when malchus are given, the pasuk of V'hu Rachim Mechaper Oven is recited, and that's where the minig of V'hu Rachim Mechaper Oven before Marav being recited comes from. But I saw other pshatim. One pshat is that a person, we know, davens Marav at the end of the day. And as the person completes his day, and he might have not acted appropriately all day long, that's the time to say V'hu Rachim Chapar Oven, thinking about everything he's done during the day. Another pshat that I saw why V'hu Rachim Chaper Oven is recited before Ma'ariv is because we know that the carbon, the shachris, there was a tefillah, is connected the tamid shel shachar. Mincha corresponds to the tamid shel ben habayim. So those tefillahs correspond to kabonis that bring kapara, whereas Ma'ariv doesn't correspond to a carbon, and that's why we have to say V'hu Rachim Chaper Oven. One more pshat I saw why V'hu Rachim Chaper Oven is said before Ma'ariv, because the Mefarshim suggest that Gehenim becomes even hotter at night than by day, and therefore to help those people who are unfortunately in Gehenim, we say V'hu Rachim Chaper Oven before Ma'ariv, before night. If, as the person was receiving Malkus, died, potter. He's potter because he did, the Shlich Bezdin did what Bezdin had told him to do. However, if he gave him one more Malkus than he was deserving, and that's how he died, then the Shlich Bezdin goes to Golus. So as the Rishonim point out, it's only in a specific case where we have, as we're learning in our Mishnah, where there's somebody reading to him what should be the amount of Malkus, counting the Malkus, and a mistake was made between the person counting and the person giving the Malkus, that's when the halach is that he goes to Golos. However, let's say he made the wrong count altogether, he lost count, that's considered more of Karav Lemezit. Furthermore, the Mefarshim say, let's say he used a strap which is bigger and tougher than the strap that's discussed in our Mishnah, then too, he is considered a Karav Lemezit and he doesn't go to Malkus. Only in this specific case where it's a Shoygig. The Ravid, as Rav Shmuel Rozovsky discusses, that there's one other case for which there's a Shoygig. And that is, let's say, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, the amount of Malkus a person is supposed to get is supposed to be a number divisible by 3. So let's say this person was assessed that he could take 20 Malkus, but 20 is not a number divisible by 3. So instead of getting 20, we give him 18. And then during the 19th or 20th Malkus, which we really assessed he was able to absorb, he died, that's considered a situation of Shoyig. Whereas if it was more than the number that he was able to receive, that would be considered Karav Lemezit. The Tzoyis, however, asks a question. If, as we explained, the only time the Shliach Bezdin goes to Golus is when the Bezdin was counting, and that's how an error was made, ask the Tzoyis, said, why does the Shliach Bezdin go to Golus? Shouldn't there be Bezdin's responsibility? And in fact, I did see that there are some Rishonim that suggest that it is Bezdin who's held responsible. But of course, Pashup Shat is that the Bezdin is not held responsible, and the question is why. So then the Sivis asks that since we can't send the whole Bezdin to Golus, so therefore the Shtamri has to go to Bezdin, and it's the Shliach. Another Pshat is that since the Shliach, the Dvar Avram says this Pshat, since the Shliach did not do his job properly, it turns out that it's a Shlichus Patos. And whenever Chazal identifies Shlichus Patos, the entire Shlichus becomes nullified, and he's not considered a Shliach, he's considered an independent individual, that's why he goes to Golus. Another Pshat is that once he starts giving the Malkus, administering the Malkus, he isn't just a Shliach of Bezdin, he's actually a Shliach of all of Klal Yisrael. And obviously all of Klal Yisrael can't be sent to Golus, so that's why he sent himself, the Shliach Bezdin, the one that was giving the Malkus, is sent to Golus. Niskalkel, if the person, as he was receiving Malkus, couldn't control his bodily functions and he got dirty, whether it's with urine or with gedolim, potter, he doesn't receive any more Malkus. Rabbi Yehuda makes the following distinction. The ish, a man is only absolved from getting further malchus berei if he got himself dirty with rei. The isha, well, a woman is exempt even b'mayim, even with urine. Ask the Gemara, my tama, what is the reason? And the Rishonim discuss what is the Gemara focused on. Some say the question is, how do we know that he's tied in a stick? How do we know that it's done by tearing his clothing? How do we know that all the other things that we discussed that humiliate him are done? What is the reason? What is the source? Says the Gemara, Shem Nikla. Because the Pasuk uses the words Nikla, Chicha. The Torah goes out of the way to teach us that the person should be embarrassed. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amr Rav Shesh is Meshum Rav Lozer ben Azariah. Menayin Ritzushi Shel Egel. Why? How do we know that the strap used should be made out of calf skin? The Ksiv Abom Yekena. The Pasuk says Abom Yekena. The Samachlein, the Pasuk says Leisachs Meshom Bedishoy. So we see the Torah connects the aloha of an axe. Speaks about axe next to Malchus. So from here we see that the strap should be made out of hide of an axe. But of course the Mepharshim say, so why specifically is calf skin used? Why couldn't they use the skin of a regular cow? So one pshat they saw is that we know that all of the Averis that Klal Yisrael do emanate from the fact that they did the Chet Ho'egel. And therefore, we give him Malchus, we remind him that the reason you came to do Averis is because of the original Chet Ho'egel. But then I saw another pshat. We know that Ben Yoyada says this pshat. We know that the pasuk says Hanefesh Hachotas Hitomus. A nefesh that does Averis really ought to die, and therefore Malchus should not be enough. Why is Malchus given? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His great mercy, treats the person who did an Aveira as a cotton, and therefore he's not Chayiv Malchus. Therefore, we give him Malchus with an eagle, with the calf skin, to remind him that you're getting Malchus and not the much more difficult punishment of death. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His great mercy is treating you like a cotton, like a young person, not like an adult, and therefore you'll get off just with Malchus. Continues the Gemara. V'am Rav Sheshes Meshum Reb Elazar Ben Azariah. Menayin li Yevama Shenafel Fnei Mikushchin. How do we know that if a Yevama falls to even to a person who has this disease of Mikushchin with boils, which are contagious, Shein Chos Men Asai, that we not force her to live with that individual? The Ksiv Loisachsim Shor B'dishoy. The Pasuk says Loisachsim Shor B'dishoy. The Samachlei and the Pasuk near it says Kiyesh V'achim Yachtov, to teach us that we can't force a person to do something which repulses them. And here we have a number of machloikasin. One machloikas between Rashi and the other Rishonim is only the case of a Mukashchin. Is that the only situation where a woman could refuse having Yibum? Or is it in any situation where she finds the Yavam repulsive? Rashi seems to say that in any situation where the woman has a valid reason to say that she should be exempt from Yibum, she has a right to say so. Other Rishonim seem to take the approach that it's only regarding a situation of Mukushchin, not other situations. But then the Mepharshim discuss, would the same halacha be regarding a get? If a woman comes and says she finds it impossible to live with her husband and she has a valid reason, do we accept it? There are achroim that want to suggest that according to Rashi, so too would be the halacha by a get. Other achroim, and that's the opinion it seems, the most achroim is that a get is treated differently than a yibum. And as the Chazon Ish explains, in the case of a married couple, where even if she finds her husband terribly repulsive, at least she's receiving support from this person. So therefore, we don't allow her to say that this man she finds so repulsive that she should demand a divorce. Whereas in the case of Yibum, where they're not yet married, she has a right to say so. But then the Rishonim continue to debate. The Gemara explicitly says that if the man has a mukashchin, the woman has a right to say that she's refusing yibum. But the question is, can we force the man in those situations to give chalitza? Some Rishonim suggest that if she has a right to say she doesn't want yibum, the extension of that is, and of course, we could force him to give a chalitza. However, other Rishonim say, yes, she has a right to say that she doesn't want Yibum, but we can't force him to give chalitza. Chalitza cannot be given under duress. Which leads itself to another interesting question. What would be the halacha if a woman, husband passed away without children, and she's an elderly, sick woman that has absolutely no intention of getting remarried? Is there still a point that she should receive from chalitza from her brother-in-law? The Paiskim seem to say that there's no point necessarily of demanding that chalitza be given under those circumstances. Whereas it seems that Api Kabbalah, there is a specific issue that even if the woman is not interested in getting remarried, it's for the benefit of the neshama of this person who passed away without children that chalitza be given even under those circumstances. Continues the Gemara. Whoever embarrasses the Yom Tovim, it's as if he worshipped Avodah Zorah. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, don't make Avodah Zorah, v'samach le'chagam atzis tishmar. So firstly, the Rishonim debate, what does the Gemara mean with Kalmavaza as Samay Adam? Some say it means Cholamoid, that he doesn't treat Cholamoid with the proper respect. And others say it refers to Yom Tovim. Really, the question is based on the Issa Melocha Cholamoid. Is it an Issa D'Oraisa or is it an Issa D'Rabbanan? If we hold it to Issa D'Oraisa, so Kalmavaza Samay Adam refers to Cholamoid. If the Issa Melocha and Cholamoid is only the Rabbanon, then Kalamavazis Me'adim probably refers to Yontif. Although I saw the Mepharshim ask, if we're going to say that the Issa to do Melocha Cholamoid is an Issa D'Oraisa, so why is there a difference in the Halacha between Cholamoid and Yontif? On Yontif there's no concept of Dover Ovid. On Cholamoid there certainly is a concept of Dover Ovid. So Mepharshim respond that even according to the opinion that doing Melocha and Cholamoid is an Issa D'Oraisa, the Issa is only is what the Torah left it up to Chazal to determine what is and what isn't the Melocha. And they determined Dover Ovid is Mutter on Cholamoid. Why, asked the Mepharshim, is Mevaza Samay Adam similar to being Oivir Avodah Zorah? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that the word Moid represents is means to meet, as the pasuk says, "V'nei adati l'cha." That's where we meet. Yontif is a time where the person has an has the opportunity to be mayid, to meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if a person is mevaza and doesn't respect that opportunity, it's kilo v'avodah zarah, that he doesn't believe in God. Others say we remember, we discussed this in the Masechta Sanhedrin, that Yeravam ben Nevat put up two avodah zarahs, one in the north of Eretz Yisrael and one in the south of Eretz Yisrael, to do everything rather than Klal Yisrael should be Oyel Regel, because he recognized that Aliyah L'Regel is the antidote to Avodah Zarah. Another pshat is that we know that all the Yom Tovim are Zeicha L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim represents the Amunah that we have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Kalam Avazas Me'adim, if somebody embarrasses those Yom Tovim and doesn't recognize Zeicha L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Amunah was supposed to have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the opposite is Kol Oved Avodah Zarah. But then I saw Gaval the Gevart from the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes says, if our Gemara teaches us how serious it is for someone who's mevaza smayadim, who doesn't treat the Yom Tovim with the proper derech eretz, certainly hamechabres smayadim, somebody who treats the Yom Tovim with the proper respect, how much more so will he be great, get such great schar? V'amar sheitzim mishum avlaz ben Azarya, kam sap lashon hara, whoever speaks lashon hara, and I saw the Mepharshim point out, why does the Gemara use the words kol ha-mesapir? The Gemara should have said kol ha-medaber. Say the Mepharshim, many times when somebody wants to say lashon hara, they don't say what they're going to say in their own name. They say, you know, we heard from a very great individual this lashon hara and this person, in order that the person should accept the lashon hara. That's why the Gemara uses the word kala mesaper, but kala mekabel lashon hara. So as the Chavetz Chaim points out, that mekabel lashon hara, the Gemara should have said kala shemeya lashon hara. Says the Chavetz Chaim, there are times where a person is allowed to hear lashon hara. For example, if it's for a business need, for the need of a shidduch. But even in the time where you're allowed to hear, you're never allowed to be makabel, you're never allowed to accept it as true. And that's what the Gemara stresses, that kala makabel lashon hara. And as the Chavetz Chaim says, that's why we know the lashon hara applies even what is being said is true. Whoever says the sheker, royal ashlich lekovid, should have been thrown to be thrown to the dogs. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, lekelev tashlichenoy soy, v'samach leiloy sisa shem ashav, kar beinami loy sisa. You should not cause that something false or lashon hara should be said. So mefarshim say, what's the connection between the dog and lashon hara? So one pshat is that we know. So what is unique about the human being? What's unique about the human being is that the person is a medaber. He's able to speak. And he's able to hear where other people speak. If a person takes these special attributes that we are given and uses them to hear lashon hara, so he has changed from being a human being to being a dog. And therefore, roi lashlich l'kovim. Another pshat is that we know that Klal Yisrael, as they were leaving Mitzrayim, the dogs were able to hold themselves back from barking as they were leaving Mitzrayim. And here, this person doesn't have that attribute that even the dogs have, that he can hold himself back from saying or speaking or hearing what he's not supposed to. Another pshat is it's supposed to remind us along the same line. It's supposed to remind us Yetzias Mitzrayim. We know that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, there were no delutrim. There was nobody amongst Klal Yisrael that said bad one about the other. And here, this person isn't acting this way. We wouldn't have been worthy of getting out of Mitzrayim. V'shtei Ritzuris, we learned in the Mishnah there were two straps. Part of it made out of calf skin, and part of it made out of donkey hide. Tana shel chamor. Why was donkey hide used to make part of the strap? Kedarsh ha'ugla aleder of chizda. The pasuk says yadashar kaneu v'chamor aves spalov yisrael loy. Yadashmi. Amar kodesh baruch hu. Yavemi shemaka aves spalov. Let someone who recognizes who his master is. The animals recognize who the master is. V'yipara. And pay back the mish enema kervis balov, this person who sinned against Hashem, not realizing who Hashem is. Yod a tefach, we learned that the handle is a tefach. The Gemara says that it should reach his stomach. Amar baya, says the Gemara, shma minaya, kol chad v'chad, lefum gave avdinalei. It seems that they had different straps according to the height of the person. Amle Rava says, Rava, if so, if that's the case, imkei nafesh le'ritzuas tuva, it'll turn out there'll be many straps in Besdin for every size person. Elam Rava, therefore Rava says, afkasa islei, there was a loop at the bottom of the strap, kiboy mikdele, kiboy maperle, which can make the strap be longer or shorter. Malkanai soy, we learned that he received malkus, 1/3 in the front and 2/3 in the back. Menani Mili, Amrav Kahana, Damakra, Vipila Ashoifit, Vikal Lefonov, Kadei Rishosai Bemispa. Rish Achas Mofonov, it says Kadei Rishosai Bemispa. One place it says Rishai Loshin Yochid, and Bemispa means a Loshin Rabbin. To teach us Rish Achas Mofonov, 1/3 in the front, and Shtei Rishosai Ma'achrav. So I saw that we all know that this pasuk of Kedei Rishosoi is the pasuk from which we learn B'shem Rishoi Achas Atem Mechaivoi V'ein Atem Mechaivoi M'shtem Rishoyos, the din of Kimle B'drabimnei. So Mepharshim ask, our Gemara is using this pasuk to teach us the halacha of how much Malkus he got in the front and how much Malkus he got in the back. So Mepharshim answer, if all that was the point of the pasuk, then the pasuk should have used the word Rish'o. The fact that the Torah uses the words Rish Asai, we can learn both halachas about the 1/3, 2/3 rule, and also the rule of Kimlev the Rabbanai. Ein Malkanai Asai, we learned that the malchus are given as he's bent over, because the pasuk says v'hi piloi. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin l'ritzui shimichpelis. How do we know? Also, as we learned in the Mishnah, that the strap is doubled over. Shenemer v'hi piloi. And as the Mefarshim say, it's as if it said v'hich piloi. It should be doubled. Ask the Gemara, Rami Bai Leila Gufe. We need that pasuk to teach us the halacha that we just said, that the person receiving malchus should be bent over. Answers the Gemara, Imkain, if that's all that the pasuk meant to teach us, licht of kra, the Torah should have used the word yatehu. My be piloi. Why does the Torah use the word he piloi? Shmam natarti, the two halachas. One is that he's bent over when he gets the malchus, and that the other halacha is that the strap is doubled. Continues the Gemara. The person who gives the malchus gives him with one hand. Tana Rabbanan says the Braist, Eim Amidim Chazonim, the people that were appointed to give the malchus, who were appointed, El Chaseri Koyach, people who weren't very strong, and furthermore, they were individual, the Yiseri Mada. They were very smart to know how to give it properly. Rabbi Yehuda says, Afil Chaseri Mada, even if people who are not that great in Talmid Chachamim, Viseri Koyach, and were strong, still could give the Malkus. Amar Rabba Kavasei, the Rabbi Yehuda Mestabra, the Ksib, because we know the Torah says, La Yosef Ben Yosef, the Torah is very concerned that the person not get more Malkus than he's supposed to. So says the Gemara, if we say that the people that were appointed weren't that smart, now we know what the Torah has to warn them, be careful to give only the prescribed amount of Malkus. Eli Amrit Yisrei Ramada. It was said that the people who are giving the Malkus are Tamid HaChachamim Mitzach L'Surei. They know on their own what the right thing to do is. Therefore, it's a riot that's not necessarily Yisrei Ramada. Rabbanan, how did the Rabbanan defend their opinion? Says the Gemara, Ein Mezarzen Al Mezuras. Yes, the person giving the Malkus was a Talmud Chacham, but even Talmud Chacham need to be reminded to do it right. Tana, we learned in the Brisa Shemagbia, when the person giving the malchus raises the strap, Magbia b'shtei yodav, he picks it up with both of his hands. Kshemakbim, when he actually gives the malchus, Makbia yodav achas, he gives it with one hand. Kehechad the lesim the day, it should come with entire strength of the person giving the malchus. For Kairei, we learned that the person, as we learned in the Mishnah, reads psukim as the malchus were administered. Tana Bonan, Hagodl Shebedionim Kairei. It was the most prestigious member of the Bezdin who read the psukim. Hasheni, the second most prestigious person, Maina, was the one that counted the malchus that he was receiving. Vashlish Amahake, and it was the third most important individual that says before every Maka, give him the Malkus. Bezman Shemaka Meruba, when there are many Malkus given, he gets all 39. Maruch, they draw out the recitation of these Pesukim. Bezman Shemaka Muatis, when it's not getting that many Malkus, Bekatzer, they do it quickly. Ask the Gemara, but we learned in the Mishnah of Anantanan Chosla Tchil Samikra, that if it takes more time, you just go back to the beginning. So what is it? Answers the Gemara. Mitzel Tzamtzim. The right way to do it is to try to figure out that the reading of the psukim should end at the same time as the end of giving the malchus. However, if they didn't figure it out properly, then they go back to the beginning of the reading, that they should be reading a psukim the entire time malchus is given. Tana Rabbanan, Makarabba. The pasuk says, Makarabba. If I only had that pasuk, we would understand that only in a case where many malchus, more than the prescribed amount, were given, is the person giving the malchus over. How do we know that even if a small amount of malchus, even a few more malchus than we were supposed to be given, were given, he's also over the savera? You're not allowed to give any extra malchus. Ask the Gemara, if you're not allowed to give any extra malchus, even one extra malka, you're over this lav. Im kain, matam loy makarabba. So why does the Torah have to say the words makarabba? Lima al Rishon, so it comes to teach us that the original Malkus, Shemaka Rabba, that the original Malkus should be given with all the strength and all the energy of the person giving Malkus. The Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, discussed why would the halacha, if the person receiving the Malkus, Rachman Slan, got himself dirty because of the fright of the Malkus. Tanabonus, we learned in the Braisa, Echad Ish Vechad Isha, both a man or a woman, Berei, are only considered having soiled themselves, that they don't get any more Malkus if they soil themselves Berei, V'loi B'mayi, not with urine. Divrei Rameya, that's Rameya's opinion. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ish Berei, a man is only considered having got himself dirty Berei, V'isha, however, a woman, B'mayi. V'cham Omerim, Echad Ish, V'echad Isha, Bein Berei, Bein B'mayi, are considered having gotten themselves dirty, that they are excused from getting further Malkus. Ask the Gemara, but Tanya, we learned in another Braisa, Rav Yehuda Omer, Echad Ish Vechad Ishi B'Rei, that both a man and a woman only consider getting themselves dirty with Rei. And here in the Braisa, Rav Yehuda said, Ish is even B'Mayim. How do we reconcile these two Braises? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Nechama Yitzchak, Shneim Shavu B'Rei. Everybody's in agreement that if they got themselves dirty with Rei, that whether it's a man or a woman, the halach is that Malkus is no more given. And then Rabbi Huda adds that a woman has another halacha of B'mayim. Continues the Gemara, Amishmu, Kafsu V'Ratman Bezdin, if the person was tied up, the person supposed to receive Malkus was tied up, and then he runs away, Potter. He's Potter from getting any more Malkus. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Kala, if the person got himself dirty. Bein B'Rishayna, whether before the first Malkus was even given. Bein B'Shnaya, or when it was the second Malkus, Paitre Naisai, he's Potter from getting Malkus. Nifska Ritzua, but if the strap broke, B'Shnaya, if it happened by the second Malka, Paitre Naisai, he's exempt. B'Rishayna, by the first Malkus, ain't Paitre Naisai, he's not exempt. But ask the Gemara, Amai, why is there a difference between the strap breaking before the first Makkah or the second Makkah? It should be no difference. Lavi Karatz, it should be the same as if he ran away, which we just learned that if he runs away, he's absolved. Answers the Gemara, Rots, Hasam Rots, running away is considered particularly demeaning. And therefore, if he runs away, he's part of Malkus. Hacha, in a case where Loi Rots, when he doesn't run away, he's not exempt unless the strap broke after the Malkus started being given. Tanabon, Amdul L'Chashiyol Kakala, if they made a determination that he will get himself dirty upon getting the first Malkus, Paitronesai, we exempt him from Malkus. L'Chashiyetze Mibezna Kala, but if the assessment was that he would only get himself dirty after leaving Bezdin, then Malkonesai, then we do give him the Malkus. V'loyoid, furthermore, afil kol betchila, if he got himself dirty before the Malkus even began, Malkonesai, then we let him clean himself up and start the Malkus procedure. Shenavi kol v'nikla, only v'loy shakua kvar bezin, only if he gets dirty as the Malkus procedures began, not if that even didn't begin yet. Says the Mishnah, kol chayv krisa shalaku, all people who are chayv koris, if they get Malkus, niftru yidei krisosam, they no longer are obligated to get Karis. The Malkus is in the place of the Karis. So I saw a very interesting machloikus. The opinion of the Maribe Rav is that if here the person is chayiv Karis, if the person gets the Malkus, it takes the place of the Karis. So if somebody does an Aveira, this is the case we did the Aveira in front of two Eidim, there's Mechayiv Karis. Certainly if he did an Aveira, if he walks into Bezdin, he says, you know, I did an Aveira for which there's a Chayiv Karis, he will get the Malkus and be absolved. However, the Rabach disagrees. And he says, the Bezdin, just like Bezdin can't give Malkus unless there were Eidim to the Aveira, so too, in the case of when he did an Aveira for which there's a Chayiv Malkus, so too will be the Halacha in this case, where if there's no Edim to the Chiyuv Karis, we wouldn't give Malkus. And the explanation of the Rabach is that since the embarrassment in this case is not so severe because there were no edim to his aveira, perhaps the halacha is therefore a different halacha. And this question, I believe, will have bearing on another question that I saw in the Mefarshim discuss. And that is, what would be the halacha if a person didn't do an aveira for which there's a chiv karis, but rather he did an aveira for which there's a chiv mises bezdin? Will the malchus take over the chiv mises bezdin? Again, it depends, perhaps, on the machlokes Mariba Rav and the Rabach. Shenemar, v'nikla achicha l'necha, Shiloka, as soon as he receives Malkus, he's ready like your brother, there's also Machloikus Rishonim. If this then only applies where, in addition to getting the Malkus, the person did tshuva, or even if he didn't do tshuva, the Malkus has the ability to take over the Aveira, the Oynish of Karis. First, I'm explaining why is this relevant, Bizmanazeh. We don't have Karis. The answer is that a person who gets Karis did an aver for which the chiv karis is possible to aid, but if he gets malchus, he will now be a kosher aid. Rav Chanan ben Gamliel, mam over aver achas. If somebody does one aver, noitel nafshaleh, he could lose his life over it. Hois a mitzvah achas. Certainly, if somebody does a mitzvah, alachas kam v'kama, certainly shetilatelai nafshay, he will get tremendous schar. Shimon Omer, Mekayim HaLamed. We can learn this from the pasuk itself. The pasuk says, "V'nichrasa hanefashas ha'osis, v'ayma hashiasa osam adam b'chay b'hem." Ha'kol ha'yoshev lo'ava aveira. If somebody just didn't do an aveira already, noisim lo'ischar, he's ready to get schar ka'osim mitzvah. And as the Sfas Emes explains, to do a mitzvah, you have to have the proper kavana. Not to do an aveira, you just have to not do an aveira. Says the Sfas Emes, what the Torah is teaching us is that if a person does a mitzvah, doesn't do an aveira, it's already considered as if he did a mitzvah. Rishim ben Rabbi Omer, Harei Omer, Rach Hazak, Levilti Achol Adam, Kadam Hu HaNefesh. Umaha Adam, if Dam, Shenafshish Adam Katsumenu, which is repulsive to a person, HaParish Menu, if somebody doesn't eat dam, the kabel schar will get schar. Certainly, gezav arayis, shnaf shel adam is avlahem mecham dosa. A person wants to do these averis. Certainly, a parishman and ox v'kam v'kama, shiyiske loyu l'darois of l'darois of l'darois of atzayf kaladaris. Ends the Mishnah, the last Mishnah of Amasechta. Ruchananya b'kasha oimer, rotza kodesh baruch hu l'zakas Yisrael, l'fika chibel am teire mitzvahs, shnama Hashem chofetz ma'atzitka yagdal teire v'yadim. So many pshatim said in this. One pshat I saw is Lazakas as Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to purify us. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu purify us? By giving us the opportunity to do Torah or mitzvahs. Another pshat that I saw is that there was once a person who was in yeshiva, spending a lot of years learning in yeshiva. And he came to the Kotzker, and he had to go to work. And he came to the Kotzker and he says, you know, till now I had the opportunity to sit and learn. Now I no longer have that opportunity to sit and learn. Isn't it terrible? So the Kotzker said, on the contrary, that's the limit of our Mishnah. The limit of Mishnah is there are different times in a person's life where he has different obligations and different opportunities how to grow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'fika chibel hem Torah mitzvah gives us different opportunities, different times of our life how to grow. Another pshat that I saw from the Dubna Magid, as he always says with a marshal. There's once a person, a young man, came to a large city, a metropolitan city, to do business. And as he came to the city to do business, he had an uncle who knew a number of merchants in the city. And they said, my nephew is here to do business. There's a lot of opportunity to do business with him. And as the nephew was about to leave the city, he tells the uncle, you know, I was in this beautiful city that has museums and has all these wonderful sights, but I was so busy with business, I had no time to take in the sights. So the uncle said, it was I who did this. I kept you busy because I knew there was a lot of temptation in the city. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes there are a lot of temptations in this world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes there are so many temptations in the world, how are we to avoid all of them? L'fika chibbalem Torah mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us much Torah to learn, many mitzvahs to do, to avoid us, prevent us from doing something wrong. In fact, I saw Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explains, he says, L'fika chibbalem Torah mitzvahs, There's so many things that we have to do every day, even if they weren't Torah mitzvahs. You have to put off to eat. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is great rachmanis for us. Lefika Chebrolam Torah mitzvahs gave us many Torah mitzvahs that we're going to do all of these things anyway. We should get mitzvahs for doing all of these things. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Chalukin Lav Chaver Rabbi Chananya Ben Gamliel. Rabbi Chananya Ben Gamliel colleagues disagree with him. That Rabbi Chananya Ben Gamliel says that Karis, the Malkus absolves somebody from getting Karis. Arav Adbar Hava Amar Bei Rav Taninan. We learned in the Mishnah, Ein Men Shabbos Yom Kippurim. There's no difference between Shabbos Yom Kippurim. El Shazad is the Dinah B'Day Adam, Shazad is the Dinah B'Karis. Doing a very amazed on Shabbos as a Chiyiv, Mises Bezdin, and on Yom Kippur it's Karis. Vim Isa, but if what we're saying now, that by getting Malkus, one is absolved from Karis, Edev Edev Day Adam, who also Yom Kippur's desecration is B'Day Adam. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Oimer, Hamani, who is the opinion of the Mishnah? Rav Yitzchaki. Dom and Malkus b'chayiv krisus laka. We learned earlier in our Masechta. His opinion is there's never any Malkus for an aver which does a chayiv krisus. The Tanya, as we learned, Rav Yitzchak Oimer, chayiv krisus b'klal hayu. The Torah says that anybody who does any the averus of erva chayiv karis. V'lam yotzav kar b'chayiv. So why did the Torah single out the aver of having relations with a sister for having a chayiv karis? To teach us Ladonna Bakaris Lava Malkus, that Karis is given for such a person and not Malkus. Ravasha Mafila Tam Rabbonin. Our Mishnah could still follow the opinion Rabbonin and Chananya Ben Gamliel can agree. Because what the Mishnah in Masechta Megillah is saying is, Ze'ik is Adonim B'day Adam, Ze'ik is Adonim B'day Shemaim. Yes, a person could get Malkus for being Mechal Yom Kippur. But that's not what the Torah said. The Torah says it's Karis. This our Mishnah says, you could get Malkus and get away with the Karis. Amrav Adbar Hav Amrav Halacha Rav Chananya Ben Gamliel. The halacha is like Chananya Ben Gamliel. Amrav Yosef Man Solak Leil of Osu Amr. Who went to Shemaim to tell us that that is the halacha? Amle Abaya. Elohad Amrav Shuman Levi Shlosh Dvarim Osu Bezn Shlamata. There were three things that were done in Bezn Shlamata. V'hiskimu Bezn Shemala Yodam. And the Bezn Shemala agreed, as we're going to learn in a minute. Man Solak Leil of Osvama, who's the one that went up to Shemaim to say so, that so is the halacha? Alakroy Kadoshinim, it's Psukim. Hachanami Kroy Kadoshinim, it's all Psukim. Guf Arim Shuman Levi, Shloshet Dvaram Bezin Shemata, three things the Bezin Shemata instituted, Veskimu Bezin Shemala Yodim, and we agreed upon by the Bezin Shemala. Elam Mikra Megillah, Ushayla Shalom, that when we greet somebody else, we use the shame, Hashem. We use the word Shalom, which is one of the shameless Hashem. V'avos Mais, the halacha is that Mais Rishon is given to Levim, to Kohanim, not just to Levim, and that it's given not just, it's given even from all fruits and vegetables. Mirka Megillah, the Ksiv, Kimu v'kiblo Yehudim. Kimu l'malo, mashikiblo l'mata. Sheila Shalom, the Ksiv, v'hinei boy is born based Lechem Yehuda, v'yoyim l'koitz mashem imochem. What does it mean? V'chitem, a boy who's over the dati, does use Hashem's name. Mishmaim leskim al yoda. Tamishma v'ayim Hashem imcha gibah chayil. That when the Malach greeted Gidon, he used Hashem's name. Havas ma'is deksiv. Havius kol ma'is abeis oitzer v'iterev v'veisi. V'chenuni na b'zoyis am Hashem tzvakos. Im lo eftel chem as a rubos Hashemayim v'rubos lechem bracha v'lidai. That they should bring all of the ma'isa to the base of Mikdash and should be distributed to the Kohanim and Levim. Ma'ad b'lidai amar Rav v'Rav at shivus v'sechechem alayim v'dai. You so much bracha will HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us that we will not even have any more the ability to thank Him for all of the bracha and Yeshua that He brings to us.